Hey, through the word, welcome back to Colossians chapter 1. This is the B-side. Chris Langham with you once again, and I want to do something a little different and speak directly to all of you who, like me, have a calling to teach in church. Among the wide variety of job titles I have served under in my years, one of my favorites is a teacher of teachers. I train Bible teachers. Haven't had time for much of it lately, and I have been dreaming for years of developing a Bible teachers series for Through the Word, God willing, to be created. But for today, I want to stop here in Colossians 1 at one of the foundational passages for anyone and everyone called to teach God's people. It begins in the middle of verse 25. This is the gospel that you heard, and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. So the main context here is the gospel, which is why Paul spends most of his time here talking about Jesus and how he redeemed us and reconciled us. But for just a moment, Paul mentions his own part in this work. He calls himself a servant of the gospel. Older translations have it as minister, but the NIV updated it, perhaps in recognition of the fact that the word minister has morphed into something a little too big for its britches. But a minister in the Bible is a servant. And what does life look like for such a servant? Verse 24. Now I rejoice in what I am suffering for you. First up, the life of a gospel servant includes suffering. But it is suffering for someone, and Paul rejoices in it because it's worth it. And then the verse gets a little tricky, and scholars argue over exactly what Paul means here. And I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions, for the sake of his body, which is the church. Okay, what? Paul fills up in his flesh what is still lacking in Christ's afflictions. It sounds like Jesus' suffering was lacking? How is that? First note, I'm not actually certain what Paul means here, and I'm okay with that. Bible teachers, you don't do anyone any favors by pretending to know every last answer about Scripture. James tells us, Bible teachers, quite directly that we are not perfect. That being said, I will tell you what I believe Paul is saying here. Jesus' suffering and death is certainly enough for our salvation. Jesus paid it all. But Jesus also told us, if they hated him, they'll hate us too. And we, as the body of Christ, still go through suffering. But Jesus tells us that we are not alone. He suffers with us. Paul calls it the fellowship of suffering. So in that way, Jesus' suffering on the cross was not the end for him. He is still enduring persecution and suffering through his body, the church. And Paul basically says he was taking a lot of it. Read Paul's story. There was plenty. But just as Jesus said you're worth it, so does Paul. For the sake of the church. Verse 25. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness. Okay, this is big. Paul has become a servant to the church. How? By the commission God gave him. Commission to what? To present to you the word of God in its fullness. That right there is the calling of every Bible teacher. Present the Word of God. It is not your calling to entertain or to astound, though if it helps you present God's Word more effectively, then go for it. But our goal must remain that our audience would hear and understand God's Word. And Paul says to present it in its fullness. There are two primary applications that I see for that word. Fullness, as in the whole Bible. And fullness as in the whole message. Reading the context, I think that Paul primarily had the whole message in mind. But I also think that teaching the whole Bible is a fantastic way to teach the whole message. As you can see from Through the Word, that is clearly my strategy. We teach the whole Bible, every chapter. And when we teach a chapter, we work hard to explain what the whole chapter means. I'm not saying this is the only way to teach the Bible. I'm just thoroughly convinced from years of experience that it's the most effective way. There is so much richness when you get the full message of a chapter, and then the full message of a book, and then the full message of the Bible. For all the fruit that Through the Word has seen, and for every time that someone compliments my teaching, I always come back to one simple trick. I just work really hard to explain what the Bible says as clearly as possible. Yes, I'm occasionally funny, and yes, I try to tell good stories and use effective analogies and object lessons. That's all teaching methodology stuff. But the message, the part that really matters, is always the Word of God. Bible teachers, I want to challenge you. Teach through the Word. I don't mean teach on this app. I mean teach chapter by chapter through a book. I know most churches don't do that, and maybe it's not part of your tradition, but please give it a try. See what happens. You might say, people won't stick around for it. It's too dry. They need original and interesting. Hey, just try them. Side note, I took a look at the top 100 churches in the U.S. in terms of attendance, and I found at least 11 that teach verse by verse, chapter by chapter. I guess people stick around. And my little app is doing all right. We went from 0 to 25,000 daily in 8 years. And teaching chapter by chapter is pretty much the only thing we do. Listen, it's not about numbers. It's about God's calling and being faithful to it. We are called to present the Word of God in its fullness. Are we doing that? And if your church doesn't teach the Word my way, I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm just trying to encourage more pastors to try it because it's powerful. Now, speaking of teaching in fullness, let's get the full context of that verse. Paul's commission to present to us the Word of God in its fullness, verse 26, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. So the fullness that Paul is talking about includes the revelation of this mystery. For ages, God hid it. The Old Testament had promises and hints, but it wasn't fully unveiled. Now, in Christ, it is disclosed to God's people. I like that word disclosed. It reminds me of the game Clue, when you reveal a card to another player. Yes, I do have the candlestick. So God discloses to us. Verse 27, to them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And that is the big reveal. It is the truth that was missing for ages. Through the whole Old Testament, God gave the law, directions for living right. He laid out blessings and cursings, and he gave promises of a new covenant, when his law would be upon our hearts and in our minds. He promised a Messiah to suffer and die in our place. There are so many clues and pieces to the puzzle, but it was never fully revealed until Jesus. And now we get it. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Glory, the weight, the eternal purpose that God gives us, the opposite of vanity, substance that lasts. And my hope that I will live a life of glory and that I will see glory when I die is founded in this, Christ in me. He is my hope and my righteousness. He is the answer to all my open questions of how to get this right. And in verse 28, he is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. Now we really dig in on the Bible teacher's calling. We proclaim Jesus. We proclaim, shout it for all to hear. We admonish, that's warning and rebuke. Bible teacher, that's part of your job. When someone's getting it wrong, you admonish. But watch yourself. You do not simply tell them to act right. You remind them that their one hope of glory is Christ in them. And teaching everyone with all wisdom. That's the main thing. Explain, give knowledge, help them learn. But what do we proclaim and what do we teach? Do we proclaim truth? Yes, but not for its own sake. Do we teach wisdom? Yes, but that's not the goal. Do we teach love and hope? Yes, but those are all found in one place. We proclaim Christ. Chapter 2 tells us that all the riches of wisdom and knowledge are found in him. All the depths of love are in Jesus. The highest hopes, the most profound truths. So we proclaim him. Why? So that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. That's your goal. That's the end result of teaching the fullness of His Word and of proclaiming Jesus. When it's all said and done, when we stand before the King, and those we taught step forward, that we may present each one fully mature in Christ. I don't know exactly what that looks like or what role we play on that day, but I know that Paul had a sense of responsibility for the maturity of his students, like a teacher who wants his kids to graduate and take seriously what that means, that those kids grow up and learn and accept that diploma as mature adults. Paul wants his students to grow up in Christ. Bible teacher, is that your chief aim and goal? To see mature Christians, fully mature with the full word. Verse 29, to this end I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. Oh man, this keeps getting better. If you're a teacher, memorize this verse. Memorize this passage. If it sometimes feels like teaching the word is a fight and stepping into the pulpit is like stepping into a boxing ring, you got it right. Strenuously contend means fight hard. And when the fight wears you down and you can't even lift your own head, remember, it's not your energy. You fight with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in you. I know I can make it look like this Bible teaching stuff is easy. And I know you look at someone successful and it seems like it was all just handed to them. But you don't even know. I've been taking hits in this boxing ring for 2 decades. And the only reason it might look easy to me is I've learned good and well how to let His energy come through when I get knocked down and when I need to get back up and fight on. You might think we shouldn't talk about the fight, but Paul begins chapter 2, I want you to know how hard I am contending for you. So now you know. And if you're a Bible teacher, now you know the road ain't easy. But fight the good fight. He is worthy and they are worth it. And thanks for sticking around for the B-side. I'll see you in chapter 2.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.